From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we welcome Keith Wilson, author and songwriter whose first novel is being released by Echo Qua Press out of Boston, Massachusetts. Keith celebrated the release with our friends at Mosaic after a brainstorm with Mosaic visionary Nick Francis.
I had kind of this brainstorm, but very literally, I did not expect it was something I would ever have an opportunity to do. It was just like, wow, if I had a stage, people to do it, the time, I had this idea that it'd be cool to do something with my songs that I've been writing and the novel and do some kind of a production around it. And Nick just kind of said, that's great. I want to help you make that happen. I was like, okay, I don't hear that very often, so I just kind of said, all right, well, let's do it then.
Coming up, author and performer Keith Wilson. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. The Launch Music Conference is right around the corner. This week, on April 26th, 27th, and 28th, over 300 bands will be performing in downtown Lancaster on 20 stages and 11 venues. During the day, musicians and other music industry professionals can attend the conference workshops at Lancaster Convention Center, and then starting in early evening, hit the streets to catch all of the showcases all over town. This year, Wood Stove House is excited to partner with Tri-State Indie, your source for daily local and independent music news, covering the Mid-Atlantic region and far beyond. Look for several interviews with bands from around the country on Around the Wood Stove and Tri-State Indie during the weeks following the conference. Next week on the program, it's Hope for a Golden Summer. Hope performed at a Woodstove House concert this past weekend while on a tour of the Northeast to support their new album, Life Inside the Body, which will be officially released on May 1st. Our Philadelphia friends can catch Hope on April 25th at the Green Line Cafe at 4426 Locust Street. Check out their website, hopeforagoldensummer.com, for more upcoming tour dates. And here's a taste of Hope's new album. It's Daniel Bloom on Around the Woodstove.
This is a love letter because we all need them, and they come so rarely. I want to know, can I love you the same as before? My heart strained out of loneliness.
That was Hope for a Golden Summer with Daniel Bloom. Check in next week for a full interview with Claire and Paige Campbell. While visiting Mosaic's April 15th concert, I caught up with production manager Benjamin Bachman to learn about all the exciting upcoming Mosaic shows already scheduled for this spring.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're participating in Launch Music Conference this year, here in Lancaster City. So we have some really unique, you know, the first night, April 27th, we have this smattering of all kinds of different, you know, bands all across the board. There really isn't like a theme through the night. So
are you doing a launch stage both Friday night and Saturday
night? That's correct. Yeah.
Awesome.
So,
and then what's the May schedule look like?
So the May schedule, we got The Late Crowd, Last Seen in Reno, Bright and Early will be headlining on May 12th. And then we're doing a really special show coming up here around Mother's Day. Mark DeRose has teamed up with us.
Nice.
And we're just really excited to, you know, to have him kind of like bring some people just telling their stories about their relationship with their mom. And they're going to all write songs kind of based around and bring music around the table that's all with their moms. Hopefully they'll all be actually at the show with them.
That'd be great.
So it'll be great. So Derry Miller's participating in that, Jessica Smucker, Sarah Beth Deerdorf, and Stephen Courtney. So yeah, it's gonna be a great night.
And then you've got a big show in June.
Yeah, this one I've really been looking forward to. I've actually worked with them, Hoots and Hellmouth, and they're gonna be with us on June 9th. And I worked with them just in a lot of small clubs and a couple different venues, mixed sound for them over the past couple years. So I just brought their name to Nick one time and said, we got to have these guys in. They are a throwdown hillbilly, just fun show. And First time I did sound check with them, it was amazing to see all the energy that they brought. And we just kind of turned their heads. We're like, wow, these guys they make a party wherever, they can make a party happen wherever they're at. I mean, just some really good and just amazing harmonies. They're just a really tight band. So,
who else is on that bill? You've got a couple other acts.
Stray Birds and nice. Mike Monocule from here locally is going to be on that show. So it'll be a good night.
Visit mosaicpresents.com for a full listing of Mosaic events. At the Woodstove House, we're always looking for your feedback. If you have any ideas about the show or would like to recommend an artist to be featured, drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com or leave a comment at the website. Wilson is an author, songwriter, and former frontman for the Lancaster area indie rock band, Movies with Heroes. Keith's first novel, Galen, A Prisoner's Tale, will be officially released on May 1st by Echo Qua Press in Boston, Massachusetts. I caught up with Keith just before his performance to celebrate the release of the novel at a Mosaic event in downtown Lancaster.
I'm really excited about tonight. I was sitting in on the sound check, and there's just a ton of stuff going on. The stage is filled with instruments. There's video. The program itself is filled with song and movies and clips from the book. So, as always, Mosaic doing a full production here in Lancaster. So welcome, Keith, to Around the Woodstove.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this agenda for tonight, which is going to be starting only in about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all kinds of things happening here. Talk about how the night came together and how you built this show.
Well, it started. I sang a couple songs for a Senorita Burrita cabaret thing at a Mosaic event in last fall, I think. And as a result of that, I got to know Nick a little bit, Nick Francis, and we talked, and he was sort of vaguely inviting me to the possibility of doing something with Mosaic, and I kind of said, "Well, I'm flattered, but I'm not really playing out a whole lot. I don't exactly have a band. It's pretty much me." And he, just kind of threw it back at me and said, "Well, just think about it if you want to do something." And so I said, "Well," and I was just off the top of my head. I said, "Well, I had kind of this brainstorm, but very literally, I did not expect it was something I would ever have an opportunity to do. It was just like, wow, if I had a stage, the people to do it, the time, I had this idea that it'd be cool to do something with my songs that I've been writing and the novel and do some kind of a production around it." And Nick just kind of said, "That's great. I want to help you make that happen." I was like, okay, I don't hear that very often, so I just kind of said, "All right, well, let's do it then." And so I said, "Well, we better set it a little bit. It needs to be more than a month or two away."
Right.
So we had that conversation probably at the beginning of the year, and so I didn't know at that point. I had no idea how I was going to do it. I just said, "I'll do it," and then I mean, in my mind was, I had the idea, well, what if there was video content? Didn't know how I would do that or if I would do it or if somebody else would. And I thought, well, I'd play songs. It'd be great if I could get some guys from the band. Somehow there has to be content from the book. I was thinking, well, will I do readings or, And so those were the basic elements, and mm-hmm. they all just evolved. when I started thinking about the readings, I thought, well, I don't want to stand up there and read my book. That's, you know, you go and do that in a bookstore. It's not, I don't want to do that as part of like an event like this. So I kind of had the idea that because the book, the events in the book take place sort of all around the world, I had the idea to have some voices of people speaking English so everybody could hear it, but in accented English from some other country that had some relevance to the book, and have them reading these vignettes, you know, or whatever. And then I thought, well, what if I used the video content in that way and mm-hmm. had those synced to some kind of video? And I was going to work with a local filmmaker, which I thought was really neat. I was basically just going to let his vision run with whatever he wanted to do, and he right. just didn't have the time. The passion was there, but the time wasn't. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just figure something out. And so I just went around and shot sort of natural video of in natural surroundings that some people that have seen some of it said it looks kind of like Blair Witch Project kind of stuff. It's not meant to be creepy, but it is right. a little bit frenetic and jumpy, and, you know, so it just kind of came together one little piece at a time. And
what a great platform, yeah. though. What a great opportunity for someone to say, hey, here's a big stage with full sound, full lights. You can do whatever you want with it.
Well, it's kind of like getting a grant or something to yeah. do art. I mean, obviously, this is all on my own time, but I got to do something, or I'm getting to do something that I quite honestly did not. I just thought, well, that would be a cool idea, but
yeah,
I can't do that in a bar or a club. Or, you know, I mean, like, you would have to have a partner like Mosaic to have the patience and vision. I mean, and because I was saying when Nick wanted me to do something, I was like, I can't guarantee you a lot of people are going to come see me play. I was like, I'm not really playing out actively. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But I said, if you want to see this happen, I'll do everything I can and tell everybody I know. So that's kind of what we're doing. So.
After years of independently released albums and tours crisscrossing the country and Europe, as the frontman of the indie rock band Movies with Heroes, Keith took a step back from the rat race and concentrated on writing material simply for the sake, under the name Saint Narcissus. Let's go back in time just a little bit to the transition out of Movies with Heroes.
Mm-hmm. It's just funny because two of them are standing quietly over there. So, sorry, we're talking about Movies with Heroes. So, yeah. All right.
About when did you transition from that band into your solo work? When was that?
2007. We did a second European tour, and it was pretty rough. It didn't go very well. So we kind of came home feeling pretty beat up, and we weren't sure at that point. At that point, it was Jeff and I. And then we had brought on three additional people just to do the tour. Adam was one of them, and he kind of hung around. But so we didn't really break up so much as just stopped doing things. Mm-hmm. It was hard, I think, for both Jeff and I to come to that point of saying, I guess this thing's really over, isn't it? You know.
You'd been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah. So, but I had started, and I mean, I was feeling it was really. Feeling devastated enough by it that I kind of thought when we were coming home, I thought, man, I don't even feel like I can write songs anymore. You know, I just wanted to, if this thing isn't going to happen, then, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I was feeling very fatalistic about it, but I found myself kind of writing a melody and some lyrics on the plane, the dismal plane ride on the way home. And that wound up being
the first song.
Yeah, right.
Relax a little bit, man.
So that was actually the first song then when, you know, Jeff and I were kind of licking our wounds. And I just said, like, hey, can we just get together in the studio and, you know, kind of fart around and play with some ideas? And so that was the first thing that I did. That Jeff was very much a big part of that first song, kind of pulling it together. So we wrote that song, and it was like, wow, that feels really good. And it felt really different from Movies with Heroes. So I just thought, well, I don't know. I guess maybe I'll keep writing a few songs. And that was kind of how that transition happened. It was a very long, very slow, long transition. And with there was never a point at which I was like, now I'm going to start doing this thing, and
right,
I'm going to pursue it. It was more just like I couldn't not write songs. And so, yeah.
Did you play a lot under the name Saint Narcissus?
Not a lot. No, it was kind of here and there. I mean, basically my MO was I really didn't want to have as part of my life anymore that whole thing of just trying to convince people that I'm worth something and trying to go out there and, oh, please let me play here and let me play there. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to write songs that are meaningful to me. And if there are people that invite me to play here or there, if it sounds, you know, cool, I'll do it. You know, and that was kind of, so that meant that I was playing, you know, once in a while there'd be a month where I might have two or three shows, but then there might be 6 months with nothing, you know,
yeah.
And that was totally fine. So that's just kind of how it's been for the last few years.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Woodstove. My guest today is Keith Wilson, an author whose first novel, Galen, A Prisoner's Tale, is being officially released on May 1st. How then do you go from writing songs and being the front man for a big, loud rock band to the author of this book that's being released shortly?
Well, I've always written prose. I mean, writing lyrics and writing a novel are a dramatically different, you know, exercise, but I mean, even like in high school and stuff, I was very much into creative writing, and I had written freelance stuff and nothing that was like that was a real passion or, you know, and I just kind of had this story started kind of unraveling in my head, and I just kind of thought, I wonder if I could write a novel. You know, I just thought, I wonder if I could actually draw all these ideas and characters together and put it into a narrative and actually write it. So that was kind of how the idea was conceived. And then I just sort of almost like as a just creative exercise set myself a challenge and said, well, I kind of always thought it'd be fun to write a novel, but if I just think of it that way and think, well, when I have time, then I'll never do it.
Right.
So I said, despite the fact that I have a job and kids and everything, I'm going to give myself 6 months to write the first draft. And so that's what I did. It was in June, and I said, so by December 31st of 2010, I'm going to finish this first draft. And I was writing the last chapter on New Year's Eve.
yeah, but that's congratulations, because that's an accomplishment in itself of setting that goal and reaching it. countless people, you know, say, oh, I'm going to write this in last 3 days.
Right, right. Well, I had to set a, I had to set kind of a schedule and say, like, well, by this date, I have to have this much done. And so I really gave myself those deadlines, and I really tried to be pretty strict with sticking to them, so that even though there was nobody else making me do it, it was like, I got a chapter to write, and I got 3 more days to finish this chapter, so I better sit down and do it, you know. So that first draft was done, but it was, I mean, I can look back now and say, wow, it was really rough. I mean, it needed a lot of work. So then I had a lot more work to do.
So if you're here at the show tonight, you're gonna see this book. You're gonna be able to take it home. When's the official release?
May 1st. But these small publishers, it's a odd and tricky thing. There are people that have ordered it and gotten it from Amazon already.
Oh wow!
Which my publisher wasn't aware of. It's a small publisher in Boston, and they're using print-on-demand kind of technology, which, you know, basically means she did a small print run. I got some books. But then all the Amazon and other distribution like that is handled through a distributor that works with this print on demand. And they order it. The books happen. And she didn't even, I told her, I said, you know that people are ordering books. I said, I'm not sure what this May 1 thing means because there are people ordering books and getting them. And she said, oh, that's interesting. I said, And you know that they're available in the UK? And she was like, oh, I'll have to check with the distributor about that. So it's a really...
It's a different world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a totally...
The fact that you can print a book and on demand is just...
Right.
So that changes the game.
Right.
Sort of like when records used to be released on Tuesday.
Right, like exactly.
Now, you know what I mean?
Right. What does it mean?
There are no stores to ship it to on Monday, so...
So, and that's... although the cool thing was that the publisher and editor that I worked with, except for that, the phase we're in now, her kind of aim has been to revive the old way of doing things, which is to take as long as it takes to make sure that the book is right, you know, and really work on it. So I felt really good about that process. But
can you give me the synopsis? So without the spoiler, right? For folks who are listening to this and are interested in reading this book, tell us the story, the abstract.
Let's see. I did have to write this down in a paragraph or two. I don't have it memorized, but I'll try. The setting is a sort of mythical ancient version of Earth that is somewhere... It's at a time of collision of cultures when there's a race of... Or a tribe, really, I should say, because they're actually different races, but a tribe of indigenous people that are spread across the globe, that are kind of the protectors of a store of kind of knowledge, that these other cultures that are kind of mirroring ancient classical cultures like Greece and Egypt, at the time that these cultures are, they're empire builders and they're hungry for power and wisdom, or not wisdom, but knowledge, and, you know, they want to harness everything and bend it to their purpose, et cetera, et cetera. And so this indigenous group of people who have what these other people want but don't want them to use it the way they want to use it, they're being driven to the kind of the fringes and sort of in hiding. And then so that's the setting. And then the story follows a young man who lives in basically a Paleolithic Ireland. It's like an Ice Age Ireland, basically, at a time when, like, the UK would still be connected to mainland Europe, and, and Ireland would have been a little island off of that continent, put it that way. That's not important to the story. These are just all the crazy things that were important to me in writing it, but they're not important. Anyway, so the story is he's a young man from a tiny, sort of unspoiled village that his father's a fisherman. His father goes missing, and he goes against the better wisdom and advice of his, you know, the chiefess of his village and so on. He goes out in search of his father and is unexpectedly plunged into a sort of round-the-world adventure, so to speak. And the story really becomes about him having to confront himself and confront his demons, sort of a coming-of-age kind of thing, in sort of searching for his father. So that's kind of that's the gist.
Playgrounds Theater on Site is right around the corner. Playgrounds is the latest Wood Stove House public theater production.
It's a set of three short plays that will be performed at three outdoor sites in Lancaster City during Lancaster Art Walk weekend on May 5th and 6th. The performances are free and open to the public. And thanks to everyone who contributed to our Kickstarter campaign and helped support this live theater production on the streets of Lancaster. You can still help by spreading the word and making sure you drop by one of the performances. The full set of plays will be performed three times over the weekend and will start at Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. After the first play, the audience will walk to the second location, the Shriner Concord Cemetery at the corner of Chestnut and Mulberry, for the second play. And then the audience will walk to the front of Fulton Elementary School at 225 West Orange for the final play. On Saturday, May 5th, the show begins at 3:45 p.m. And on Sunday, May 6th, shows begin at 1:15 p.m. and again at 3:45 p.m. Visit woodstovehouse.com/playgrounds for more details. And now back to our guest, Keith Wilson, author and songwriter who writes and performs music under the name Saint Narcissus.
Is the story in any way connected to the music that you had been writing under the name Saint Narcissus?
Not intentionally. I just kind of arrived at a certain point after I had kind of written the book, or maybe it was while I was writing it, I kind of realized that just because it's coming out of me, I'm dealing with themes, sort of psychological, emotional, spiritual themes that the main character is wrestling with. It's not in any way intended to be a fantasy-cloaked autobiography by any means. It's not issues about my father or anything like that. But just sort of some of that subtext, I realized some of the same stuff I'm writing about in the songs. Mm-hmm. Even the times that my songs become reflective on the world and value systems and cultures are some of the same things that were coming out in the book. And so I saw this kind of, I guess, synchronicity is kind of the word I would use. So it was unintentional, and I just kind of realized that because they're both coming out of me, there's some common territory, I'll put it that way.
Can you talk about the music that Mosaic, the Mosaic audience will hear tonight, and how you mm-hmm. chose what music to put in this context?
Yeah, I had a few different ideas. At first, I didn't think there would be any kind of louder music. I thought it would be all kind of more mellow just because of the venue. But then I thought, that's not really me. Like, there needs to be some kind of bombastic stuff going on if it's really me. And so there were a few Saint Narcissus songs that Jeremy and Jeff from Movies with Heroes had helped me record, that some of them are finished, some aren't. But so I thought, well, why don't we try to do some arrangements of those? And I tried to pick songs that lyrically, for me, I don't think there will be an obvious connection with all of them.
Yeah.
For everybody. That's part of the reason I put them in a program, is so that for people who it makes sense to, they'll be able to go, oh, okay, I can, you know. But probably not until they read the book. It probably wouldn't make sense. But I chose songs that lyrically there was a linkage for me to the book and to the story. So where I'm exploring the same ideas in the book that I'm exploring in the songs. That was essentially how I chose the songs. And then when I had them, I tried to arrange them in a set that kind of be bookended in a certain way and work a certain way.
From the Saint Narcissus music, are there a couple of songs that are sort of your favorites or that stand out from this collection that you've at least printed?
Yeah, probably my favorite one is called These Ruins. Just lyrically and everything, I just really like the way it worked out. I like the way when we were sort of experimenting in the studio, the way it came together. And I'm not sure that I would say that it's actually, when I finish a full-length record, I will probably tweak, you know, the mix and might even redo a vocal here or there. But all in all, that I think that's the one that I feel... Partly because lyrically it goes both big picture and personal. So that's why I'm closing with that tonight, because I kind of feel like for me it wraps up a lot of these things.
What if this is the beginning of the end of everything I never really should have mattered? So go on and bang on all your dignified, empty-handed, satisfied. I'll be free. Let's let go. We'll watch the ship go.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about this book. Congratulations on the completion and release of it. And on the show tonight, I wish you all the best with all of your music. And come back and talk with me again when you have the record done.
Sure, I'll do that.
Excellent. Thanks, Keith.
All right, great. Thank you.
Keith Wilson's new novel, Galen, A Prisoner's Tale, is being officially released on May 1st, but you can order it now from various online retailers. Check the show notes for this episode at woodstovehouse.com. The link up to the book's Facebook page, and listing at Amazon. And don't forget, while you're at the website, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.